Tonight, chapter number 13. It is good to be back in the Lord's house. Sure is good to be saved tonight. Miss Lindsay, would you stand up? And did y'all see the Lion King? You remember whenever Simba was introduced by Mufasa and he just... Congratulations to Justin and Lindsay. Tonight is the first occasion for little Miss Aubrey to be in church tonight. And I sure do appreciate y'all growing the church the way you are. Thank the Lord for the babies. I heard that newborn cry just a minute ago, and I thought how precious that is. And there was some within earshot of me that said, I'm looking forward to that. And they're in here tonight. Theirs is on the way. But congratulations to you, too. Just bring little Aubrey up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Just keep her close to Jesus. The closer you walk to Him, the closer she'll be. I promise you that. Congratulations, guys. In the book of Matthew tonight, we're going to read one verse of Scripture, then I'll just let you go ahead and be seated. It is so good to be back in here on a Wednesday night. Folks, there's more people here at this church on a Wednesday night than some churches have on Sundays. What a blessing. What a blessing. We're going to read one verse tonight. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. I said one verse. I'm going to read three verses, but we'll take our text out of verse number 35. We'll read 33, 34, and 35, the Matthew chapter 13. The Bible said, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And I want you to think about that. That's a direct quote from the Old Testament scriptures back in the book of Psalm. But anyway, the text verse there is the 35th verse. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Brother Kippy, ask God to bless our scripture reading, my friend. Amen. You know, the Bible's full of mysteries. And if anybody ever tells you that they know it all, mark that man and watch him. Because we haven't begun to scratch the surface of what God has pinned down. There's no way, if I could live 1,000 lifetimes and preach every day of my life 1,000 messages per day, there's no way that we could ever get to the bottom of this book. There are some mysteries in there, and there's some things that have been foretold that were actually prophecy of old, and as it was unfolded in the annals of time, and you could see it come to pass. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about there, Brother Tim, you might see in the book of Isaiah how that he talked about that there would be one that would come, and the chastisement of the world be upon him, and that he would be mocked and ridiculed, and the weight and the very government would be upon him. And naturally, that's speaking of Christ. It's very easy to see that that's who he's talking about. And there's many other scriptures in the Bible that come to fruition through the pages of God's time, but there's so much in there that's still yet untapped. It's not yet unveiled unto us. And tonight I want to think about this thought tonight about some of those mysteries. And I'm going to preach the message tonight about before and after. And we got into a little project around the house. Miss Cindy's been wanting this little half bath. It had wallpaper on it, and it had not only one layer, but when we started stripping the wallpaper, we found another layer behind that. And then at the top, it had a couple borders. You're talking about four layers of wallpaper up around the top of that thing. And we didn't do it, but I would have liked to have taken pictures of the bathroom before and after. And that's going to become the title of our message tonight, Before and After. You see it a lot of times, and you see it if you're watching them. I mean, they can do anything with computers and TV. You can do anything with filmography and that kind of thing. They'll have, Brother Chris, stand up. Just stand up. You're a big guy. You're perfect. You're perfect in every way. I love you, brother. But they'll parade Chris out, and they'll say, this is before, and then they'll run out Chad Spears 2 seconds later and say, this is after. And all you had to do was drink this juice, take this pill, do this, do that. And they do that. It's all trick. You know, if you want to do anything, just do it right and do it God's way. And I'm talking, we're going to get to where we're going. Miss Cindy loves these shows, Brother Tam, and I like to watch them too. If there's anything on that I want to watch, you know, she'll get sucked into mine. If there's something she wants to watch, I'll get sucked into hers. But a lot of times you'll see the before and afters. I can't call them all. She likes to watch the Property Brothers and Chip and Joanna. And I know your ladies are shaking their heads. Y'all like that stuff. And they'll take something and it's just utterly, you know, just, it's terrible shape. It might be beams falling down and it's just terrible. Got termites eat the walls out, Brother Tim, and it's just flooded or whatever. And then they'll come in there and then that renovation crew will come in there. The Property Brothers will put their touch to it or the flipper flop people or whatever it is. And then at the end of the show, they recap that show. And when they recap that show, they show you the before and then they show you the after. If that were possible in the religious sense, and I use religion very lightly there because religion's dangerous. We even sing that song, I'd rather be an old-time Christian more than anything, and it talks about, give me that old-time religion and all that. Religion's dangerous. Islam is a religion, okay? Let's be honest with you. Nothing's going to take the place of salvation. But if it were possible in the religious sense to take a life as it were before Christ, and you know what that life was before Christ. And I know what that life was before Christ. You know what that life was before Christ. And not one of us in here tonight would want that purported and put on a big screen. Nobody here tonight wants to show that. But if it were possible to show who you were before the Lord Jesus Christ come in and utterly transform your life. He didn't just redo it, Brother Tim. He made it anew. And bless God, he transformed you. That old man is dead. The new man now lives. But if it were possible for you to have a before and an after, a picture, what you would see before on me is a 13-year-old boy that was self-centered, that was selfish. I was into everything. And I mean everything ungodly. And the things that you take a 13-year-old boy and fill him full of hormones and turn him loose in a big old world that's sin cursed already. And use your imagination. Brother Woody, I know just a little bit about your testimony because you've testified about how that God delivered you from alcohol and the things that you might have been involved in. Brother Ken, you're a good man, but you weren't always a good man. You're only good because of the righteousness of a thrice holy God living inside of you. And I don't know every one of your testimony, but bless God, we would not want our lives as it were beforehand to be laid out before this whole congregation tonight, and nobody would want to know who Grant Southern was on the other side of grace. And you wouldn't want them to know the details. I'm talking about get down to the fine print and find out who you were and what you were into and who you were running with and what you were doing while you were with them. Nobody would want that. But bless God, I want to show you some things tonight. That verse of scripture tells this, that there were some things in the latter part of that 35th verse. It says that I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And I just want to share with you some of those mysteries or some of those things as we preach tonight about before and after. And I'll just start out and say this. Before there was ever sin, bless God, there was a Savior. And I want to show you that. The devil did not one up God. He did not get one over on God. Before there was ever sin, there was a Savior. And I'm going to show you several places in the Bible that I can prove to you that Jesus Christ has always been the remedy for sin. There's a song or two that was written, and they were written in error. They were written probably by some good thinking man with a big old heart. But Miss Melissa, they said they searched all over heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Brother Tim, that's flawed theology. They did not search over heaven to find a Savior that could save my unworthy soul. Bless God, he was the Lamb that had been slain since and from the foundation of the world. Before there was ever sin in Eden's garden, God had a remedy. Before there was ever a Chris, God had a plan to save you and redeem you back to himself. Before there was any of us, God had a remedy to redeem us back to himself. And you need to know that. God had a remedy, Brother Chris. God had a way to save us. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Look into the scriptures very quickly. And we're going to go really quickly because I want to show you. The Bible said in the latter part of that 35th verse, he said there was some things kept secret from the foundation of the world. If you were to flip real quickly over to the book of 1 Peter tonight, in 1 Peter chapter number 1, you're going to find something there very quickly. And whenever I say something, you're going to jump all over that and you're going to say, hey, that's what he was talking about. I don't know what's in the air tonight, but something landed in my throat. I felt it up in the choir. I was trying to out-sing little Samuel, and it just stripped a cog or something. Bible says in verse number 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of men, of your fathers, but the very precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And listen to verse number 20 and listen to it very clearly, because this takes away the thought, Brother Chris, that the devil went up God. The devil did not get one over on God. God always had a plan, and the plan always included God's Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 20, if you will. It says these words in verse number 20, "Who verily was," what's that next word? "Foreordained." Listen to me. That was a plan. There was a remedy. And it said that it was foreordained from when? When? Read it along with me. Before the foundation of the world. And here's what it said. I'm going to start again. Who verily, it talks about Christ in verse number 19, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him the glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Bless God. Let me tell you, there was a lamb, and that lamb was spoken of, and that lamb was the one that was foreordained. Ordained by God before the foundation of the world was. So don't get this thing confused and think that because before there was a hell, there was a heaven. That's good theology. Well, there was a heaven before there was a hell. Hell was created because of the anarchy in heaven whenever Lucifer, the fallen one, decides to usurp his authority to the high place, and God kicked him out with a third of the angels. And then hell, they were cast down. And Brother Chris, as they went down, hell was created. Brother Tam, but God was not one up. Before there was ever a hell, there was a heaven. And Jesus was the door to that place. So before there was ever sin, there was a Savior. It was Jesus. As it was told in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 20. The Bible said he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but it's not just there. It was spoken of, and I read it out in the prayer room tonight as we were talking about a different passage of scripture, but it was in the book of Genesis, way early in your Bibles. It said that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, in verse number 15 of chapter number 3, and thy seed and her seed, and it shall be, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm telling you what, in the book of John in chapter number 17, in the Lord's Prayer himself, he says these words in chapter number 17, and in verse number 24, I want you to hear what he said. He said, "Father, I will also that whom thou hast given to me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." That takes aside into the myth or thought that Jesus Christ has not always existed, but he always has. He is the Godhead. Amen. There is three. And those three agree as one. Those three are one. Brother Chris and I talked about that very briefly today, not even knowing what I was preaching tonight. We got to talking about that Trinity of the Godhead. And Chris was saying that some man asked him, basically, how can three be one? Brother Woody, I don't know how to explain it. Brother Chris, how did you explain it? You said that one times one equals one. And I said, that's good, Brother Chris. One times one times one, there's three, but they're one. Amen. I looked at the molecular constructure of the constructure. That's a new word there. The molecular consistency or structure of water. It is hydrogen, two parts, oxygen, one part, H2O. You said that's only one. That's exactly right, Brother Tam. That's only one. But it exists in three states of matter. You can have a solid, which is ice. You said ice is no solid if it's also a liquid. It is if it's frozen. You let me hit you in the head with it and see how liquefied you think that it is. If I take a 20-pound block of water and bust you in the head with it after it's been down to zero, it's going to feel like a solid rock. But if it's sitting there in its liquid form, it's still liquid. If it's in a frozen state, it becomes a solid. But if you leave it there sitting left in the hot sun, it goes away. What happens to it? Is it vanished? Did it just go away? It's no longer, no, it's in the form of a gas. You can't see it, but it's still there. Now, let me tell you, those three are one. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that through the womb of grace and a young virgin named Mary, bless God, that second man, the second God, the second Adam came, and he was birthed into this world through the womb of a virgin as the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. Bless God, for 30 years he walked this earth. Bless God, on the 30th year of his life, he became a 3.5 year Savior. He became a 3.5 year Messiah, a touching blinded eyes, healing hearts, and doing all manners of goodness. And Brother Tam, bless God, he was there baptizing, and we could go there, and you could see that lamb as had been slain, because John recognized him when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He saw him as that lamb that had been slain. He saw him as who he was. Bless God. And then we see the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God descending like what? Like a dove, and rested upon him. And bless God, it abode with him for those 3.5 years. And then, Brother Tam, you see him on the cross, and he's going back to the Father through the Holy Spirit of God. We see him, and he cries out from the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And the body goes back to the grave, Brother Tam, but that Holy Spirit goes back to God. But on that day of Pentecost, Brother Woody, here he comes back in the personage of the Spirit. And bless God, that Holy Spirit, it resides with me and you tonight, Brother Charles, and he's still here tonight because I'm preaching in that same Spirit. Amen. There's three, but there's one. He was all God, Brother Tam. He's still calling the shots, but he was still all man. Don't think that he didn't weep. Don't think that he didn't hurt. Don't think that he didn't cry. Don't think that he didn't weary. Don't think that he wasn't, whenever they spat upon him and they mocked him, they scourged him, don't you think because he was God that he didn't feel that? He did. He surely did. He was the lamb as had been slain. So before there was ever a sinner, or before there was ever sin, there was a Savior. In the book of the Revelation in chapter number 13, just very quickly in verse number 8, chapter number 13, verse number 8 of the book of the Revelation. I'm showing you something because the text verse tonight said these words: "I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Revelation chapter number 13, verse number 8 says these words: "All that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." If any man have an ear, let him hear. Is that not honorable in the sight of God, Brother Tam, that before sin ever entered the picture, there was a Savior? There was a remedy. There was a hope. There was a help for the hurt of God's children. Satan, we give him way too much credit sometimes, and we get to thinking that he's bigger. He's not bigger than my God. You say, "Yeah, he's bigger than you are." Yeah, but greater is he that's in me. And that's Christ, because he is in me. But boy, he gives you a hard time. He gives me a hard time. Did he ever give you a hard time? Maybe y'all don't walk where I walk. Maybe you don't go where I go. Maybe you don't think what I think. But Tim, the devil gives me a hard time. But he's no match for my Savior, though. I want you to look with me in the book of 2 Timothy just a second. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now listen to me. What was our text verse again? We go back and we read it again. It said that in Matthew chapter 13, 35, "I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." We're talking about before and after. And here it is in chapter number 1 of the book of 2 Timothy in verse number 9. It said, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus." When? Before the world began. Before the world began. I want to say this. Whenever we got saved, there was one thing. If you're saved, not saved, man. Amen. If you are saved tonight, every one of us got to this place. And that was a place of total guiltiness before God. Nobody's going to stand before God as guiltless except that they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible said He will not hold us guiltless. He will not hold us. He will not cause us as innocents before Him because we are sinners. So I would say this, before there was ever guilt, that's what you had to be, Brother Tim. You had to be guilty before God. And we talked about that. You're not going to get a man saved until you first get him lost. And you've got to show him before Almighty God, my friend, that that man is guilty before God. And then how do you do that? This is where those like the Osteen crowds, as they're interviewed by the Larry King Lives of the world, whenever Larry King says, Brother Osteen, why don't you preach on sin? He said, because the people have to live in a sin-cursed world. They don't need to hear about it when they come to the church house. My friend, that's flawed. That's wrong. They need to hear about that because you're not going to get a man saved until you first get him lost. But before there was ever guilt, there was grace. That's the truth. Before you ever, hey, Brother Woody, I'm glad you got guilty and I'm glad that you got saved. But whether you did or not, that did not change the fact that God had a plan and God had a remedy for that. I'm glad you got guilty. I'm glad you acknowledged your guiltiness. I'm glad that you acknowledged before God that you needed Him, because I need Him. And I had to get myself to a point of guiltiness. Brother Ben, you're guilty before God, but by grace you're set free. The Bible said, ye who were dead in trespasses. That part of that, Brother Chris, that you can rejoice in is were, as in past tense. There's another past scripture, and as some were such, and some were some. Somebody quote that one for me. I messed that one up. And such were some of you, speaking of those which had sinned. Before there was ever guilt, there was grace. Isaiah 53, I've got my Bible all marked up. I'm going over to Isaiah chapter number 53 just for a second. You can turn there or just listen, whichever way. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6, it says all. You know what that means in every language? Every bit. You're right, Brother Tim. I like your take on language. You probably were schooled by Martha Church. Did she teach you? She's going to kill me for sure. Now, Martha, you did that to yourself. She said, I see people, and they say, you taught me. You were my teacher. Tam always said that, what was it, Martha drove your school, Jerry drove your school bus or something? I don't know what was going on in all that, but did you teach him? All means every single one. The Bible said that all in Isaiah 53, where we're reading in verse number 6, it says these words. It says that all, we like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But before man ever strayed, before man ever sinned, before man ever became guilty, curious, there was grace. Before there was sin, there was already a Savior. Before, Chris, there was a hell for us to be destined to, there was a heaven. I'm glad for grace. Keep going. Look with me. I'm going back over to the New Testament. Going to the little book of Titus for just a second. We're doing the befores and afters. The little book of Titus, chapter number 1, says this. In verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised when? Before the world began. Everything we're talking about tonight is before the world began. Before there was a world. Before there was a world, there was a foundation. Before there was a foundation, there was a Savior and the Lamb that had been slain. Titus 1 and 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through what? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. I want you to think about that just for a second. Everybody that ever got saved was by this word. Nobody got saved apart from it. It could have been that somebody wrote it on a napkin and handed it to you and said, the Lord loves you. That's still the word Lord is on the paper. What did the thief on the cross cry out whenever he looked at the Lord, Brother Tam? It was a very simple prayer. He said, Lord, remember me. That's all he said. But he got saved. He was in presence of the Word. But everybody got saved by the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the presence of the Word. Nobody ever gets saved apart from the Word. But do you realize before there was a Bible in your lap, Brother Tam, there was the Word of God in heaven? There was. That Word has always been. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. Am I right or wrong, preacher? In the beginning was the Word. Is that right? What else? And the Word was with God. And what else? The Word was God. When? In the beginning. In the beginning, the Word was with God, Brother Chris, but in the beginning, the Word was God. There's always been the Word of God. And the Word of God is what convicts the heart and brings us to that point of guiltiness, because it said that in due times hath manifested what? His Word through preaching. And that's why I love to preach. Brother Tim, I want to get excited about it. And I want you to get excited about being saved. And I want you to get excited about it. I want every one of us, Brother Archie, to look up and say, bless God, before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. I'm telling you, my friends, we might not get the full breadth of this thing tonight, but we're going to try our way on into Scriptures tonight. Before there was a curse, there was a cure. You said, how do you see that, or how do you reckon that? The Bible said, Brother Chris, that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. What? You're mimicking the words that follow thereafter, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's the guilty? What's the guilty's cry going to be? What's the guilty's plea going to be? I didn't mean to. I didn't know any better. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, that all men will be without excuse. I don't care how big your crocodile tears are, what you come up with, it's going to fall short when you stand before God. My friends, before there was ever a curse, there was a cure. Before there was ever punishment, Brother Tim, there was a pardon. There really was. I know in the court system and in the judicial system itself, Brother Chris, there's a penalty phase. You talk about punitive damages, or you talking about different things. Brother Tam, if you're guilty, which we just covered guilt and grace, before there was guilt, there was grace. Your best bet then, Brother Chris, after the gavel raps and you're found guilty, is what? To get a full pardon. And that's what Romans 6:23 does for us. Because the Bible says, for the penalty or the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before there was ever punishment, there was a pardon. I'm going to keep going just real quickly. Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew 25, just real quickly. Don't mean to wear your Bibles out, but the Bible tells me to preach the Word, so we're just going to use the Word. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 31 through 34 or 5, maybe it said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left hand. Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, come, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation. From when? From the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. For I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. For I was a stranger, and you took me in naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. It goes back to what I was saying. God's always had a home prepared for those that love Him from the foundation of the world. That's what it said. But what happens? What cast a man out of that place, Brother Tam? His own sin. You said, what age is that, preacher? I don't know. You got a date? You got a time, preacher, you can put on that? It's different for every one of us. For some of you, it was at a tender young age. For my wife, it was about the age of 11. For me, it was 13. For Brother John Shoemate, your daddy says, what, about 24, 25 years old. I don't know what age you got saved, but brother, whenever you got it, hopefully and prayerfully, you got it. But whether you got it or not, Brother Tam, the remedy's been laid out there. You had to get to that point of acknowledgement and saving grace. You had to come to that for your own way. Well, if we'd have got there sooner, wouldn't have saved ourselves a lot of trouble? Wouldn't the before and after look different? If we had just got to that renovation and that remodel and that makeover and that redo and that total renewal of life, wouldn't that, Brother Archie, wouldn't it look a little bit different if we just got to the throne of grace a little bit sooner? I'm sure that it would have in my life. I'm sure, Brother Chris, had I surrendered at an earlier call to the ministry, that my life would look different even now. And I look at your life, Brother Chris, at the young, what did you say, 26? How are you going to look when you're my age? What kind of a ministry will you have behind you? Preacher, you've taught and preached the word for, what did you say, 36 years? What would grace look like if you had found it sooner? What would Kenny's ministry, Brother Kenny, you're a hero in the faith. I tell you people like that. I tell Brother Larry Adams every time I see him, I said, Brother, you're one of the heroes in my life. And he said, you need to set your sights a little bit higher, preacher. You're aiming too low. But I wonder in our lives, Brother Chris and Brother Preston, what would it look like? The before and after picture if we just got there sooner. If we'd been a little more in touch with our own selves and the need that we're, Brother Tim, we're needy. We are so needy. I opened up with a stripping of wallpaper. Totally transforming a little room. That room ain't but 3 foot wide to about 8 foot deep. It's just a little half bath. Bro, it's going to look different when I get in there. And it should. You take those dilapidated houses. You take those things that's going on and all the befores and afters. I'm going to be honest with you. If you take a before and after of your life and there's not something just transformation, there ain't something took place, I wonder what happened. For a child like my wife, she said, well, I didn't get into drugs and I didn't get into alcohol. I didn't get into some of that stuff that a lot of people did. Your testimony remains the same. Some get delivered before they get in it. Some wait till they get in it and then they get arrested. And then Brother Larry Key brings the gospel to them and then they get saved then. They get plucked right out of the middle of it. And then, brother, some of them are on the other side of it. But the remedy is the same. The testimony is the same. Whether the bottle was in your hand or before, you just didn't have to take that. The salvation is the same. What would the before and after of our lives look like if we just got there a little bit quicker? Going back to our text verse tonight, the Bible said that I will utter the things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. For the redeemed people, for the righteous people, for the people that are already reconciled, what is our hope? What is my hope? What is your hope? I would pray that it would be to take somebody with you. You can't get saved again. Brother Kippy, I believe in eternal security for the believer. I do. So if I can't get saved again, what's my best hope, Brother Tim? Take somebody with me. Have you ever been there in the presence of anybody, whenever they got saved? Maybe you witnessed to them. And Brother Chris, you saw all of a sudden the little light go on. Brother Tim, you witnessed to them personally, one-on-one. And the next thing you know, you're bowing there. And all of a sudden you see the tears start to flow. And Brother Chris, they get excited. And missing that, they get saved by God's grace. That's as close as you're going to get yourself. What is your hope? Wouldn't it be that you get to take somebody with you? Do you know what happens when you see that? You get to see immediately before your eyes the before and after. Why? Because things happen. Y'all remember Brother Barry Spears? Anybody remember Brother Barry? Brother Barry Spears preached the anti-alcohol awareness rally that we had down here. Brother, every picture that I see, he was down in Yadkinville just a few weeks ago. He was preaching down there at Brother Penley's church at Solid Rock. In every picture, he endorses that only because of the fact that it shows a perfect picture of before and after. You say, well, what's so unique about Brother Barry Spears? He and I share the same title. We are both pastors. He is a pastor in Lugoff, South Carolina, and I'm a pastor up here. But one claim to fame that I don't have, my before and after doesn't look like his, and his doesn't look like mine, Brother Tam. That man was a count within the Hell's Angels biker group. Brother, he had the long hair. He had all the piercings. He had everything going on that the Hell's Angels required. If they say you go slap your mama, you go slap your mama. If you had to go get a whatever, you had to go do that to remain within the Hell's Angels group. And I weren't cursed. I'm not using that Hell's Angels as a curse word. I'm saying, Brother Tam, those people followed hell. They followed the doctrine of Satan, and they followed the lies of Satan's demise right down to, if they could, right to the gates of very hell itself. But bless God, God convicted him and saved him out of that and called him to be a preacher. Now, it's easy to see the before and after when you look at a Barry Spears. But whether you had the long hair and the shaggy hair and were riding a Harley in a group called the Hell's Angels, or whether you were sitting on a church pew under the preaching of a father-in-law, you were just as lost. But when you lead somebody to the Lord, can you imagine reaching Brother Tam, Barry Spears, and getting that man by the hand and getting down there with him and say, the Lord loves you. I won't share this with you. Before there was ever sin, there was a remedy for that sin. Before you ever became guilty before God, God had a plan for that. It was called grace. And Brother Tam, all of a sudden, that man's heart starts to swell up inside of him. He said, you know, I've never really saw it that way, and I can't believe you would stop long enough to tell me about that, that I believe you really do love me. And you could say, I do love you, but greater than that, the Lord loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son for you. And all of a sudden, Brother Tam, that man said, well, tell me more. And then you tell him, and then him said, you said, would you like to be saved right now? Wouldn't you like to have the joy that I've got in my heart? You can. You just got to accept him by grace. Believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that God so loved the world that he gave you that place called heaven. And it was before there was a hell, there was a heaven. And Brother Tam, that man started bowing down and started crying and weeping. And next thing you know, he's birthed into the family of God's grace. And you got to see the before and after. Next time you see him, maybe he's up preaching the word of God like Brother Spears. I mean, that make me want to shout. But somebody would have been there to see him saved. And then somebody would have heard him later and said, wow, what a before and an after. That would be me coming out where hold up a pair of pants, you know, of large size. That would be me walking into a bathroom that needed remodeling. And all of a sudden it looks good again. Or walking into this and seeing where the dilapidated condition is now just made beautiful. I remember whenever we redid the church around here, it started to show some wear. It did. It started to show before we painted everything. And I walked in when it was all said and done. I mean, we saw it with the pews torn out and the carpet was torn up. And we saw just everything in a state of disarray. But when we come back in, Brother Tam, I thought, man, that's beautiful. That's what our lives were, Brother Grant. They were in a state of disarray. I mean, topsy-turvy. Everything's all messed up. And then all of a sudden, here comes grace. The Bible said that he taught them in parables, and then he said right in this particular passage of Scripture that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Chris, aren't you glad that he unveiled some things unto us? Aren't you glad he didn't keep the mystery? You know there's 400 years between the Old Testament and the New. That's a proven, that's a point, that's a fact. There was 400 quiet years, they call them. Aren't you glad he didn't stay quiet for 2,400 years? Aren't you glad that he didn't just keep that book shut up for that length of time and we sure wouldn't know about Christ? My friends, there's a before and an after in your life. And if there's not been some kind of a turn of events that led you to walk different, talk different, act different, do different, then I wonder if there's anything different. I really do. I wonder if there's anything different. Tim, does your life remotely look now like it did before you got saved? You don't do the things you used to. You don't do those things anymore. You don't go where you used to go.
No desire.
Ah. No desire. Brother Woody, you talked about that not long ago. You said, I think you might have been in Sunday school. You said, I can drink all the liquor I want to. Hey, Woody, yeah, that's what he said. He said, I can drink all the liquor I want to. Brother Tim, you can smoke all the pot you want to. You can have all the affairs you want to. But bless God, once you get saved by God's grace, you won't want to. Your want to's change. Brother Chris, now you want to please the Lord. Now you want to study his word. Now you want to find out more about him. Those things that Brother Grant were one time a mystery are not now starting to be unveiled unto us. Isn't that a blessing? I've seen some in here. Brother Steve Falls, one of them. And I'm not using you, Brother Steve, to cause you any attention or undue attention. But I've seen you like a little budded up bloom. And many of you are that way. I've seen you. You were a closed little rosebud, tightly bloomed out on the vine. Miss Cindy's got some of those little, what do they call them things, knockout roses. And I'm telling you what, those little buds are so tight. Brother Tam, as you pull in the driveway, you start to see something. Next day you pull in, you start to see something. The next day you pull in, you start to see something. What's happened? That little tightly formed bud is opened up. When that warm sun hits, that thing starts to bloom out, and it's probably one of the most beautiful sights. I've seen that in some of y'all. You were birthed into that thing called grace. Just as that little beautiful baby back there. When I went over, she looked like one of the California raisins. I'm not being mean about your baby, Lindsay. That thing looked way too much like Justin. Pray for her that she grows out of that. But even as she looks like a California raisin, look what happens over time. They just bloom and blossom. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Mara, y'all ever remember the Coneheads? Beldar Conehead and those Coneheads? That was our daughter. And she'll hear this message on the internet, so I can't believe you told that. She stayed so long in the birth canal, her head was about that long. Ain't wasn't she, honey? She looked like one of those Coneheads. Ugliest baby. Oh. But now look at her. She's beautiful. She is. She's beautiful. You didn't get it this time, Macy. Yeah, yes. That's the way we were. We were birthed into grace. And as I start to see the bloom unfold and the bud open up, that's what I see. That's before and after. Brother Chris, you look different now than when I first met you. When I first met you, you weren't a preacher. You were saved, but you weren't a preacher. I remember the phone call on that night that you'd come back from over at Haymeta Baptist Church. He calls me up late at night and says, "Can you meet me?" I didn't know that boy. I knew him, but I didn't know him. I didn't know he was going to move in with us. You're different now, Chris. I sat down beside him a while ago and I said, "You want this?" He said, "I'm ready." And I believe he would have been. But God told me to use this message tonight to help some of us. Ben, there's a before and an after. I don't care how your life is now, there was a before. Miss Annette, there was a before. There was in my life and there is in yours. As we stand over the house tonight, Miss Macy comes, Brother Scott's not up here.